Okay, am I on? This is a new experience for me, preaching to a virtually empty building, but you know, the souls that are here are pretty amazing. yeah, you can tell from my haircut, this is COVID hairstyles today. And my name's Steve Gooch, and it's my pleasure to share some things with you today. And if you're not a part of our Cornerstone family, we've just experienced a pretty remarkable 40 days. And one of our good friends, Kit Cummings, put out a book, 40 Days of Prayer. And, you know, there were just a lot of things about this that I really liked. 40 days. That's a long time. You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, gosh, you know, Jesus fasted for 40 days? Didn't drink or eat anything for 40 days? And we're thinking, you know, our 40 days of prayers, that seemed kind of like a long time. Imagine not eating or drinking anything for 40 days. That was a life-changing experience for Jesus. And you'd probably kind of think, well, Jesus really didn't need to do much changing, but he did, and he was. And that 40 days changed his life and set him on a course for his ministry that was remarkable. In fact, we were all saved by it, so pretty amazing. But, you know, what I liked about the 40 days is, you know, you can hear a great sermon like you're going to hear today. Just kidding. Yeah, and you can think, man, that was just such a great sermon. And then, you know, by the end of the week, you've forgotten that sermon. Your people can say, hey, what was the sermon about Sunday? I can't remember. It was really awesome, though. And you know, sometimes we have these things, but for 40 days, we've kind of been on it. For 40 days, we've been on a praying journey together. And so I was talking to Kit the other day. I said, you know, the 40 days is just great because hopefully and prayerfully, some of those habits that we began are going to stick with us. There's going to be sort of embedded in our spiritual character. Well, spiritual discipline is a challenge. Discipline's a challenge for all of us. And so hopefully these 40 days have helped us develop a spiritual discipline of prayer. So I thought the 40 days things was cool. I thought it was great that we learned to pray real specifically and boldly. Pray some big prayers. Because sometimes we've just kind of gotten away from that. To pray with greater faith. To believing those prayers. And to look for answers. You know, to kind of be watchful. Watch and pray. And to see what God's going to do with those prayers. And to write that down. I've been doing that for several years now. And you know, there's a few miracles that kind of get sprinkled in there. But there's lots of molehills. And those molehills can add up to a mountain sooner or later. And the molehills sometimes have kept me going, kept me praying. So it helped us to record those and to journal. I don't know how many of you kind of picked up on the journaling aspect of it, really recording and thinking through and writing down some of the things that you're learning or seeing about God or about yourself. So it was a great experience for our community of believers, I think, especially at this time. Did I do that every day for 40 days? No, I didn't. But that's okay. Jesus still loves me, and he still loves you. But, you know, one of the other things I told Kit about, I said, man, those are just some great scriptures you had there. I said, how'd you come up with all those great scriptures? That's a lot of great, 40 great scriptures for us to look at. So what I want us to do today is just, I'm going to take one of those days, one of my scriptures that are favorite to me, and we're just going to do a little bit of a Bible study. It's not going to take a long time. It's not going to be anything super profound, but hopefully it will encourage us. And the scripture I wanted to pick was from day 21, Matthew 11. And we're going to read verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, we're just going to kind of break that down a little bit. He starts out with, come to me. And, you know, I just kind of want to ask that question. What does your come to me look like or sound like? You know, I've got a dog named Rudy. And from time to time, he'll kind of get out of the yard and start going toward the street. And I'll say, Rudy, come. He doesn't pay any attention to me. Rudy, come here. Get over here. You know, and sometimes that's the come, right? Get over here. Or if you've watched, what's that movie, The Last of the Mohicans, when was it Magua, the bad guy, and the girl's at the edge of the cliff, and he's going, he wanted her to come because he wanted to kill her. He didn't want her to kill herself. So there's that kind of come. There's the come here. You're not going to come on that one. Because you're thinking, what do you mean? You're going to do something to me, right? And so there's all sorts of comes. And if you've been watching the series, The Chosen, if you've seen that, raise your hand. Have you not seen that? What? You call yourself a Christian? Oh, my goodness. There's a series. Have you seen it, Andy? You haven't seen The Chosen? Oh, Lord have mercy. You've got to see this. It's a series on the life of Jesus. It's about an 8-part series. It's free. Just download the app. It'll show you how to shoot it into your TV. It is really one of the most spectacular representations of Jesus Christ that I have ever seen in my life. I promise you. Betsy and I have gone through it for the third time. We finished it for the third time this week. It's that impressive. But you see Jesus choosing his disciples and saying, come, follow me. And it's so awesome. Because it wasn't like, come follow me or else, Buster. You're going to follow me or you're going to regret it the rest of your life. You know, it's just not that kind of a come. You know, when Jesus, you're not going to come to somebody you don't like or that you don't think likes you. Right. You know, you've ever gotten an invitation from somebody and you just really didn't like them? I'm going to make an excuse. I don't really want to go over there. They don't like me. I can tell. They just don't like me. And I really don't like them. So why should I accept the invitation? But when Jesus says, come to me, you know, we've got to be able to envision looking into a person's eyes and going, that person loves me. That person believes in me. That person wants to enrich my life. That person wants to give me something that I've always wanted. He's got the capacity to bless me with that. And so when to envision Jesus saying that, come to me. It's so great when you see him say that to those people, when he says it to Peter and James and John and Matthew and even Nicodemus. It's really a great story. Come. Jesus, you know, I've got my biggest fan right here. She's sitting right over there. Betsy's in the audience. Way to go, along with a lot of other awesome people, or a few other awesome people. Yeah, she's my biggest fan. You know, I want us to understand that Jesus is our biggest fan. Yeah. He's our Savior. You know why he's your Savior? Because he's your biggest fan. You know, he's your biggest fan. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. All you who are just exhausted. You know, because really, that's the point we've got to be at before we're going to really accept the invitation. You know, we see, you know, some of our younger people become Christians. God bless them. Yes. You've come to Jesus. But, you know, honestly, you probably haven't just been spent yet. Just utterly, absolutely spent, exhausted. I got nothing. Right? You know, when you go and you go and you go and you finally go, I got nothing. I've got nothing left. I'm used up. I'm tired. It's over. Those are the people that Jesus is saying, come to me. If you haven't reached that point yet, then just, you will. And then it'll be your time to come. And you won't come kicking and screaming. Ah! You'll just come. It's like, what was that song, Suzanne? Only the drowning men can see him. That's one of the verses in there. I don't know the whole song, but I like that verse. Only drowning men can see him. And only weary and exhausted and spent people will really come to Jesus. That's what he says. That's who I'm calling. I'm calling those who are weary and heavy laden. I want you to come to me. I don't want you to get over here. I want you to come to me. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. I want us to have a relationship. I want to give you something that you've never had before. A relationship with somebody who believes in you heart and soul, who sees you for who you really are, who has great plans for you, and who will be with you in that to the very end. So that's I want you to be with me. It's a relationship, right? It's not a club, it's not an organization, it's not a schedule, it's not a list of duties. It's a relationship. Come to me. John chapter 70 says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Why? Because so you can drink. Rivers of living water will flow from your heart. Well, my heart's empty. My heart's dead. My heart's wounded. Jesus said, that's why you need to come to me. Because you've come in to drink what I've got to give you, and from your heart will flow rivers. Not a little drip of water. I think I see a little drop of living water there somewhere. No, he said, no. You come to me, you hook up with me, you have a relationship with me, and listen, buddy, rivers of living water will flow from you. John chapter 4, boy, I tell you, the Chosen, they did a good one on this, on the woman of the well. Woo-wee, better hook that up. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. He's talking to those weary, burdened people. You drink this stuff, you will never thirst. And it will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And you know, what does that mean to come to me? I hope I don't embarrass my son Clint, but we had a great conversation this week. Okay, Betsy says don't embarrass him. Okay, I'm talking about somebody else now. Yes. You know, I was talking to somebody this week. And this is all of us, really, isn't it? You know, we've got a lot of resources available to us, don't we? I mean, isn't this an amazing thing? I mean, I got the Bible right here. I got sermons. I got podcasts. I've got great music. I've got the Bible, audio Bible. I can be plugged in all the time. Just all this spiritual stuff coming into me. It's like, whoo-wee, man, I'm on it. But you know, sometimes I think, and those are all, they're all great things. I mean, the music we listen to is inspiring, and the sermons we hear, the Bema discipleship is like, blows your mind, just go pow, you can listen to that. Awesome, great insights, understanding, wisdom, inspiration. But I think what that consumes our time, and that's an investment we're making. But at some point in time, we just have to go be with Jesus. You know, we just have to put it down, unplug it, and just get away. Me and Jesus, and walk it out and talk it out. And just be as butt-naked, honest, and real. Complain. Argue. Cry. Confess. Get your list out. And sometimes I think God says, put the list down. We'll do the list later. It's time for you and me. It's just time for us to talk. We'll get to the list. But you and I need to come to an understanding. Somehow, we need to connect on the deepest spiritual, heartfelt level. And when we do that, you will find rest for your soul. When we do that, you ever feel like sometimes you're just getting nowhere fast? Spiritually? I've just been at the same place for so long, I'm running real hard, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not changing. Sometimes we focus on the wrong thing. We focus on the problem and not the solution. Oh, if I could just stop this, whatever that is. If I could just stop drinking too much. If I could just stop looking at the wrong stuff on the internet. If I could just stop smoking. If I could just stop, you know, and what happens? We don't stop. It just doesn't stop. If I could just stop being angry or jealous or envious or impatient, I just need to stop talking that way or treating that person that way. If I could just stop that. Well, you know, it's probably not going to happen because you know it's wrong. Yep. because I know I shouldn't do that anymore, because I know that's hurting me, or I know that's hurting that person, or I know it's the right thing to do. I know these things. But it's through the mystical, miraculous, divine influence of time spent with Jesus alone. And somehow, I don't understand it. It changes me. The things that used to have a grip on me, the grip is loosened. It's not what it used to be, or it's gone altogether. Unbelievably, things that plagued me for years are no longer an issue in my life. And I thank God for it every day. But it's because I've taken the time to just go out there, to just walk it out, talk it out consistently with Jesus, that has really released me from the burden. Come to me, all you who are weary. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. In Jesus' name, I have tried. In the church, I have tried, but it hasn't happened. I believe it will happen. If we take all this wonderful knowledge and things that we've got and can take that step, what the Father sees in secret, go in secret, and He will reward you. It's a secret one-on-one, me and Jesus conversation. This great song Betsy was reminding me of this morning, I come to the garden alone. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. How's the rest of it go, Andy? And what? And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's rare territory, brothers and sisters. It is for us. It's rare territory. We've done our 40 days. So let's take what we've learned here and just dive deeper into our one-on-one secret relationship and conversation with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we just have it all pent up and we just need to talk about it. We need somebody to talk to, right? Betsy and I had a great talk yesterday. We were having a rough day. I was talking to this woman this week. And it was just like we talked it out. And that woman, whoever she is, just woke up today and said, "Hey, I'm good." Pow! You know, we had a conversation. She also talked to Jesus about it, I'm sure. But sometimes you just got to have a conversation. It's a relationship. Okay, I've got 7 minutes. It's exciting. "Take my yoke upon you," Jesus says, "and learn from me." He didn't say, "I got a yoke for you." Not a joke for you. I got a yoke for you. "Boy, I got a yoke to put on you, mister." No, he says, you know, I used to think it was just a yoke. It's just a yoke that He's putting on me. But it's really, it's His yoke that He wants me to step into with Him. "Take my yoke. Come beside me. Take this. I'm not going to force it on you. I'm not going to lay it on you. I want you to take my yoke." And you can just imagine somebody walking up and just taking their yoke. And who is beside them? Who is walking this path with them? Jesus. He said, "I am going to walk it with you. We will do this together." The Message Bible says Just watch how I do it. Watch me. Learn from me. And I will show you how. You don't have to be smart to be a Christian. You don't have to figure anything out. Isn't that great? Because I'm not the sharpest stick in the whatever. You just have to be a follower. Just follow. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to be smart. Just follow. Monkey see, monkey do. I'm going to do what he's doing. And as I do that, I'm going to see this yoke that I used to wear. I had another yoke. It was a yoke of slavery. It was a yoke that would choke. It was a yoke that was killing me. It was a yoke where I got no help. But I've got a yoke now that where Jesus is walking beside me every step of the way. We're partners in this. He's showing me how to do it. And so, honestly, I think sometimes our lives as Christians can get so complicated. And let's just erase the board. Let's just erase the board and just put Jesus up there. That's all God wants us to do, is to be like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to learn from Jesus. That's all he really wants us to do. Learn from me. Learn what? Everything. Wipe your slate clean. Let's start over. Just learn from me. What do you want me to learn? Learn that I love you and that I believe in you and I'm not mad at you and I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not unhappy with you. I love you. I believe in you. I've got great dreams for you. I want everything for you. I want you to learn that. I'm going to do this in 30 minutes. And finally, well, what can I expect from you, Jesus? He said, you can expect me to be humble and gentle. That's how Jesus Christ describes himself. For I am humble and gentle in heart. That's what you can expect from me. Do you really get that from perfect people very often? No. You know, those perfectionists are really just hard to live with, aren't they? They're just so exacting. They are so impatient with my struggles. Why I can't do it the way they do it. Why I don't get it when it's so easy for them. Jesus said, that's not who you're yoked up with, mister. You're yoked up with somebody who is humble and gentle in heart. That's who I am. And I'm just going, whew. Wow, that's just who I need to be alongside me and with me in my journey. And Jesus concludes by saying, and you will find rest for your souls. God bless you. Thanks for your time.